In Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 1, the Bible said that when the morning was come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people, they took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. Can I just say something as I read a little bit this morning that the Lord stirs my heart? They might have thought that they were taking counsel to put him to death, but that counsel had done been settled long ago. That was not the counsel of men that was being carried out. That was the counsel of God. And we know that they did not take his life from him, but that he freely gave his life. He freely laid down his life. In verse number 2, and when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, he repented himself, and he brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed. And he went and he hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for us to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel, and they bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. And then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast of the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. You come on down in verse number 25. We know that Barabbas is going to be released. And they answered all the people, and said, his blood be on us and on our children. It still is. Amen. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, and they gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. They stripped him, and they put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him, and they mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him, and they took the reed, and they smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe from off him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And they, as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and my vesture did they cast lots. Upon my vesture did they cast lots. In verse 36, and sitting down, they watched him there. And the Bible said over here, in verse 37, they set up over his head an accusation. You see, this wasn't supposed to be a title or a way to honor Jesus. They were doing this in a mocking, accusing fashion. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were the two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. The Bible said, they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads. You come down in verse 45. Now, From the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, they said, this man calleth for Elias. Straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for the reading of the Word of God. Lord, I pray that all of us, Lord, would leave here today and not just read the account in its entirety in the book of Matthew, but also in the book of Mark, also in the book of Luke, and also in the book of John. Lord, I can remember a couple of different times in our ministry that we were so discouraged, how that God, when we started with Jesus in Gethsemane and went with him through the Calvary experience, how you revived our hearts, how you encouraged our spirit, how that we were determined, God, to go on another mile for the glory of God. I pray, Lord, this morning, as Brother Mike's coming next weekend, Lord, if Jesus doesn't come first, I pray, God, that you'd spark a revival in our hearts. God, that you would help us to look to you, to lean on you, to live for you, to long for the coming of our Lord, to occupy, Lord, till you come and take us home. Help us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to look at maybe a little bit of an unusual way, but it's how the Lord has dealt in my heart at this phrase at Calvary, and see what really happened here, and see that how that what Jesus accomplished and what he went through at Calvary, how that it relates to you and I as God's people, and how that it relates to even the sinner that is in the world today. But the first thing I want to say is look here in verse number 2 of chapter number 27. The Bible said, and when they had bound him, they led him away. You remember that when they came to arrest Jesus in the garden, that he spoke to them and they fell backwards. That's why I want to magnify the truth this morning that he had all power in heaven and in earth. Amen. Some say, well, he could have called 12 legions of angels. A songwriter said he could have called 10,000 angels. I'm of the opinion he didn't need one angel. Amen. If he didn't want to go. Amen. That's the power that our Lord had. But I want to say the first statement I'm just going to make, I don't know how many, I didn't even count them, but I'm going to make some statements going through here. The first statement is, he was bound that you and I might be unbound. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, let me give it to you like this. The Bible said here that they bound him and they led him away. You see, look with me, if you will, at Mark chapter 5 for just a minute. I want to take my time and just go through some things here that really have been a blessing in my heart as I've studied. He was bound that you and I might be unbound. The Bible said here, in verse number 1 of chapter 5 in the book of Mark, that they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. You might not like what I'm going to say this morning, but there was a time when every one of us had an unclean spirit. Amen. There was a time when every one of us were dwelling among the tombs. We were dead in trespasses and sin. And the Word of God said here, now I'm not going to take the time to read it all, but it said that he was bound with fetters and with chains. But can I tell you why Jesus went to Calvary? Why he was willing to be bound? Because he saw a bunch of us that were bound that he wanted to free. He wanted to loose. Amen. And he wanted to let us go. He wanted to free us from the power of sin and free us from the penalty of sin. And thank God one day he'll come and take us home and free us from the very presence of sin. Amen. And what a blessed day that's going to be. He was bound that you and I might be unbound. The Bible tells us here, this man met Jesus. Jesus told the demon to take a hike. Amen. Get on out of here. And the demon wanted to enter into the swine. And the swine did something unnatural. Ran down a hill. Amen. Into the sea and drowned themselves. Can I tell you something right now? There's a lot of people in this hour that we live in doing things that are unnatural because they got a demon in them. Say amen right there. I can remember a little while back talking to my brother, and my brother was witnessing to a man that worked for him and been trying to get him to Jesus. And one day my brother looked at this man, and I've never heard it approached like this before. And he said, sir, he said, I want to ask you a question. And this man looked at my brother kind of surprisingly, and he said, well, what is it? He said, what's his name? And this man looked, he said, what are you talking about? My brother said, I want to know his name. I'm praying for you, and I want to know more specifically what his name is. And this man looked, he said, I don't have any idea. My brother looked at him, he said, that demon that's got a hold of you, what's his name? Amen. And that man bowed his head, and he named the drug that he was hooked on. I can't remember which one of the drugs it was that had a hold in his life and had a hold of him. He named that drug, and my brother turned and walked away. He said, now I know how to pray for you. Amen. He said, I'm going to pray God will deliver you from that demon. 2 or 3 weeks went by, and that man showed up in the church up there at Dyson Grove and fell in that altar of prayer, amen, and was born again. I say, hallelujah. I serve a Savior that was bound that you and I might go free, amen, from the sin and the degradation that we live in so many years. Look at John chapter number 11 just a moment. John chapter number 11. I tell you this morning, I'm standing before you trembling because I know that my Lord died. He was willing to go to Calvary and that be bound that you and I might be free. Amen. A lot of people think you're free because you live in America. But I want to tell you, there's a greater freedom than American freedom. And that's Christian freedom. Amen. I tell you what's the truth. There's so many people, they're bound by religion. They're bound by sin. But Jesus was bound that we might go free. Look here in John chapter 11 for just a minute. The Bible said here in verse number 43, and when he had thus spoken, you remember Mary and Martha thought he was late. Their brother had been dead for 4 days. They had already put him in the tomb. And Martha, I believe, is the one that said, Lord, by this time might have been Mary. Said, by this time he stinketh. Amen. Dead bodies stink. Amen. And he said, by this time he stinketh. Well, Jesus said here, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. In verse number 45, the Bible said, and he that was dead came forth. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, look at this word, bound. Bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about him with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. I said, my office thinking this morning and studying. Oh, they don't put us in grave clothes anymore. These days they put you in one of them metal boxes and they close the lid down and they lock it. And then they put that down inside of a vault. You say, preacher, what are you trying to magnify? I'm trying to magnify that my Lord loosed Lazarus. And I don't care how thick that box is they put me in. One of these days, bless his name, he's going to loose me too. He was bound at Calvary that I might be loosed from this whole world that we live in. Amen. I don't know about you this morning, but when I look at the story of Calvary, I tell you, I tremble. It's a blessing to me to know, my friend, listen, that they can't bury me in a box thick enough. They can't bury me in the ground deep enough that when my Lord comes and says, loose him and let him go, that he won't loose me. Amen. And let me go and be with him and have that new body likened to the glorious Son of God. Turn back with me over to Matthew chapter 27. Amen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. There's 17 of them, amen. So we better get this show on the road, amen. The second thing I want to show you. Boy, I just got some of you on praying ground, didn't I? Amen. Well, me don't need to come back for the 6 o'clock service. We'll still be here. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to try to get it all this morning. I just want to obey the Lord. Look at verse number 3. The Bible said here in verse number 3, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, he repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and to the elders. You say, preacher, what about this now? Here's the second statement I want to make. First, he was bound that we might be unbound. The second statement I want to make is this. He was sold out for man's silver, and yet you and I are purchased with the Lord's blood. You say, preacher, what do you mean sold out? How many knows what I mean? Joseph in the Old Testament was sold out, amen, for silver. Here in the Word of God, our Lord was sold out for silver. But he's going to be a purchasing something with his own blood. Turn with me in Ruth just a moment. In the book of Ruth, chapter 4 and verse number 10. You say, preacher, what's so important here? Well, I believe with all of my heart the Lord wants to teach us some things this morning from the Word of God. Let me just give it to you. In Ruth chapter number 10, you know what? I believe my friend Boaz said in chapter number 4, here's what he said. He said, I have purchased her to be my wife. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say they sold our Lord out for silver, but he wasn't just in the selling out business, amen, being sold out. He was in the purchasing business, amen. At Calvary, when it looked like he was being sold out for that that's temporal, he was going to buy him an eternal bride with his own precious blood. Amen. He was after a wife. He was after you. He was after me. The Bible talked about in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. The church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The Bible talked about in Ephesians chapter number 1, how that you and I are his purchased possession. My friend, I want you to know, listen, you said, preacher, I thought salvation was free. It is, but that's not cheap, amen. Salvation, my friend, listen, though he was sold out cheap for man's silver, he was going to be purchasing a bride with his own blood. And I'm glad, thank God, I'm part of that number. I'm part of the redeemed, amen. I'm part of the bride of Christ this morning. He was bound that we might go free. He was sold out for man's silver, and we are purchased with the Lord's blood. Let me give you something. Look at chapter 27 of Matthew. If you'll go back there, let's look here in verse number 11. I want to show you another thought. In chapter 27 and verse 11 through verse number 14, the Bible said, and Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and the elders, he answered nothing. That's important. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And the Bible said, look in verse 14 again. And he answered him to never a word, inasmuch that the governor marveled greatly. If you read the account of the crucifixion over and over and over, if you'll read the account of prophecy over there in the book of Isaiah, you're going to find out that Jesus was silent. Jesus didn't say anything. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with us? He was silent in his punishment. Look with me for just a moment in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 7. The Bible said he was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. So he openeth not his mouth. I want you to know that he was silent in his punishment, that you and I could stand in this generation and raise our voice in praise. Amen. Jesus told his disciples, he said, if these hold their peace, he said the rocks would cry out. Amen. I don't know about you this morning, but when I look at Calvary, Brother Anthony, I don't want any rock crying out in my place. Amen. I want to praise him. Praise him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. He's worthy of praise this morning. And he was silent in his punishment that you and I might lift our voice in praise. What a blessed thought this morning. Number four, I don't have them numbered, but I can count that far from the top of the page. Amen. Let me give you this. Look in verse number 15. The Bible said, now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. If you work in the prison systems, you'll know what a notable prisoner is. Amen. That's somebody that everybody knows about being in there. Amen. I can remember years ago, and it was one of the movie stars. I think I just remembered his name, but I won't even say it. I'm not supposed to. That's part of working in the prison system. Amen. But I was in a federal prison in Pennsylvania, and one of the movie stars was there, and the chaplain said, don't even recognize him. They said, listen, you treat him like you treat everybody else. But what was going on? I tell you what was going on. He was a notable prisoner. Everybody, when he come into the camp, amen, knew that he was coming in, knew who he was. You couldn't keep from it. And Barabbas was a notable prisoner. You say, preacher, what are you going to say about this? Well, let me give you this. He took the place, Jesus took the place of a prisoner that he might offer pardon to a prisoner. You say, preacher, I don't understand. Let me just give you a thought for just a minute. I wonder what Barabbas was thinking. My friend, when they were leading Jesus up Calvary's hill, my friend, when it was supposed to be three thieves hanging there, say amen. I'm telling you, but no, the Son of God was hanging in the middle. I wonder what Barabbas was thinking. I believe he would be thinking something like this. Boy, just a few days ago, maybe just a few hours ago, I thought that would be me hanging there. You say, preacher, I don't understand how you could make a statement. He took the place of a prisoner that he might offer pardon to a prisoner. How many realizes down at the end of the crucifixion, one of those thieves changed his mind? One of those thieves, my friend, looked over and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I'm telling you, there was one prisoner that he traded places with that he might save many prisoners on down through the ages of time. There was a time, my friend, when you and I were a prisoner to sin, a prisoner to self, a prisoner to this world system that we live in. But thank God Jesus went to Calvary, took the place of a prisoner, that a prisoner might be pardoned by the grace of God. Amen. I'll tell you something right now. Jesus said, to whom the Lord forgiveth much, the same loveth much. Amen. Some of us in this room, we understand that we brought a truckload of sin. Amen. And I tell you, our Lord, thank God, our Lord erased it. Amen. I tell you, Brother Houston and I were out there the other day. We were trying to get some asphalt off of a shovel. It had done stuck, and it had done stuck hard. I tell you, the sin in my heart had done stuck, and it had done stuck hard. But I tell you, my friend, listen, there's something that'll soften asphalt. Gasoline will soften it. Diesel fuel will soften it. I tell you, gasoline wouldn't soften what was stuck in my heart. And diesel fuel wouldn't soften what was stuck in my heart. But thank God His precious blood has softened my heart and washed my heart and set me free from the sin and the degradation that I was living in. Jesus took the place of a prisoner, that a prisoner might be pardoned, that a prisoner might be saved by the grace of God. He was bound that we might be unbound. He was sold for man's silver, that we might be purchased with the Lord's blood. He was silent in His punishment, that we might lift our voice in praise. He took the place of a prisoner, that He might offer pardon to a prisoner. Let me give you this morning. Turn with me, if you will. Look in Matthew chapter number 27 here. And look at verse number 26. The Bible said, then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Take your Bible and turn to Isaiah 53 for just a moment. Isaiah 53. Listen to what the Word of God said here. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 3, the Bible said, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And the word of God said he was despised and we esteemed him not. We hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Watch this now. Yet we did esteem him stricken. I can only imagine that Roman soldier that had that cat of nine tails, that whip, he thought, boys, I'm a giving it to him. Amen. I'm a jerking hunks of flesh out of his back. It wraps around and gets his rib cage and jerks hunks of flesh. I guarantee you that old soldier thought, I'm a giving it to him right. But the word of God said, my friend, he was smitten. He was stricken of God. He was smitten of God. He was afflicted. Well, you say, preacher, what are you getting at now? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Here it is. He was beaten. He was bruised. That you and I might be blessed this morning. Amen. Of a holy God. I'll tell you, my friend, this morning, there's religion after religion after religion. They want to do away with the beating. They want to do away with the bruises. They want to do away, my friend, with the crucifixion. When you do away with the blessing. Because the blessing will come through Calvary every time. It'll come through Calvary. The Bible said they blindfolded him. The Bible said that they buffeted him. They hauled off and hit him. I believe, my friend, his face was pummeled. Then they opened their hands and smacked him with, I could just hear that pow, pow, pow. My friend, as they mocked him, prophesy, they said, who hit you? I'll tell you something about the Son of God. Before he ever hung the world in place, before the stars were ever formed, before the moon and the sun would ever give off their light, before the sea would roll back and the land would appear, our Lord knew who would hit him on that day. And thank God he was willing to be smitten that you and I could be blessed, willing to be bruised, willing to be beaten, that you and I might be blessed. I'm afraid sometimes, church, listen to me this morning. I'm not preaching at you, but I said I'm afraid sometimes we, as God's people, get to going down this road of blessing and forget what it cost that we could even get in the road. Amen. We have a wife that loves God. We have children that love God. And we forget what it costs to enjoy this blessing of something called a Christian home. Amen. And enjoy the blessings of God. Oh, let's not take them for granted. Amen. They beat Jesus. They bruised Jesus. But I tell you, the next time we see him, his eyes won't be swelled shut. His back won't be, my friend, all the bones won't be staring at us. My friend, listen, they didn't break a bone, but they were exposed. All of his joints were out of place. But the next time we see him, it'll be a blessing, amen. Oh, yes, he'll have those wounds in his hands. That'll be an eternal reminder. He said, preacher, why do we have Isaiah 53? Why do we have Matthew chapter 27? Why do we have Mark chapter 15? Why do we have Luke chapter 23? Why do we have those chapters in John telling us about the cross? It's supposed to be a reminder. Don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget. Amen. What it cost that you and I could be blessed. Blessed of the Lord. Amen. Let me give you this. In verse number 27 and verse number 28. Back over here in the book of Matthew. Couple of more things and I'll be done this morning. Verse number 27 and verse number 28. The Bible said, then the soldiers of the governor, they took Jesus into the common hall. And they gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. Watch this now. And they stripped him. And they put on him a scarlet robe. Let me ask you something this morning. Is there anybody in this congregation that would take kindly to somebody stripping you off in public? It's humiliating. Amen. Listen to what the Word of God said. Listen to what the Word of God said here. The Bible said, and they stripped him. He said, preacher, what do you got now? Here it is. He was stripped and humiliated. How many would agree with that? Amen. He was stripped. He was humiliated. They put that scarlet on him, mocking him. You say you're a king? The king needs a robe. The king needs a crown. Amen. So they planted a crown of thorns, pulled it down into his brow. I'll get to that in a little while. But listen, they're mocking him. He was stripped. He was humiliated. You say, preacher, why? So that you and I could be clothed. Amen. Think about that for just a minute. How many remembers when the Holy Ghost, this is the way I like to put it. I think everybody understands this. How many remembers when the Holy Ghost pulled the covers off of your life? He showed you just how naked you were in the eyes of a holy God. He showed you that He knew everything about you. He knew the darkest, most secret place in your heart. He knew everything you had said. He knew everything you had done. He pulled the covers off. You say, preacher, why was I convicted like that? I'll tell you why. Because He wanted to come along and cover it up and never be remembered again. He gave you a garment. He gave you the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave me that same righteousness. And now when He sees me, He sees me in a white robe. He was stripped. He was humiliated, that you and I might be clothed and that you and I might be humble in the sight of God. There's a lot of people, I think, act like they deserve to be a child of God. Oh, no. Oh, no. We deserve punishment, but He took it in our place. We deserve hell, but He took it in our place. He was stripped. He was humiliated that you and I might be clothed, that we might be humble before Him. Let me give you this, and I'll close this morning. He wore a crown of thorns on His head. Look at verse 29. They platted a crown of thorns. They put it on His head and a reed in His right hand, and they bowed the knee before Him. I'm going to ask a question. Is there anybody in this building? I have been. Is there anybody in this building besides me that's ever been mocked? If you have been mocked, would you raise your hand if you've ever been mocked? Brother Larry, have you ever stood in front of a congregation and watched somebody mock? It hurts, don't it? It hurts. Rejection hurts. Anybody ever been rejected? He was despised and rejected. Now, that wasn't good enough. He was mocked. They come by and bowed the knee. Said, hail, King of the Jews. Can you just hear their voices? Brother Grizzle, I believe in their voices. You could tell they didn't mean a bit of it. They were just poking fun. They were just mocking the Son of God. You say, preacher, what's your point right here? I'll just be real brief and close. He wore a crown of thorns that you and I might wear a crown of righteousness. He wore a crown of thorns that you and I might wear a crown of glory. He wore a crown of thorns that you and I might wear a crown of life. He wore a crown of thorns that you and I might wear a crown that's incorruptible. He wore a crown of thorns that you and I might wear a crown of rejoicing, the Word of God said. I could spend 30 minutes preaching on those crowns. You say, preacher, won't we be something over there wearing those crowns? Nah. Because I done read over in the book of Revelation, chapter number 4. That the 24 elders cast their crowns before the throne. And they cried, worthy is the Lamb. You know, should that day come that we stand before God, my brother, and have something to give to our Savior, it'll all be because He was willing to wear the crown of thorns first. He was willing to give His life. I don't know about you this morning, but I am stirred up about what he did for me at Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. This morning, have you been to Calvary? I'm so encouraged this morning. I just feel like preaching a little bit. I've been spending me some time this week at Calvary. I want to love him more. I want to be more like him. I want to be more the daddy and the husband and the pastor that he would have me to be, the papaw that he would have me to be. And I tell you what I believe. If he'll help me to stay close to that cross, I believe I can be what he wants me to be. Brother Jeff told me a while ago, I looked back over at my buddy, and Brother Jeff told me a while ago that in Sunday school they were saying something about the preacher. Little Brian spoke up and he said, he's my best friend. That might not have helped you. But what a responsibility this preacher has.
Amen.
What a responsibility Bible way has. If we'll stay close to the cross, it'll keep us from being full of pride and puffed up. It'll keep us humble before God, realizing I owe it all to Jesus. He paid my sin debt. Years ago, an old preacher, he's in heaven now, he gave me a little plaque and it said this: Jesus paid a debt he did not owe, because I had a debt I could not pay. You and I couldn't pay that debt, friend, but at Calvary, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you this morning for the privilege to read about Calvary, to preach about Calvary, to think about these truths, God, that stem from Calvary. God, this morning, I'm asking you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, if there's someone here that's never been to Calvary, never known the forgiveness, never known the pardon, never known the freedom, never known the guilt and the shame being washed away in their life, never known what it is to be clean through the blood of the Lamb, I pray the Spirit of God would deal with that individual's heart. You'd help them to know, Lord, that they're not coming to a preacher, not coming to a church. But if they'd step out in that aisle and come, they'd be coming to Jesus. And Jesus, he said, he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Lord, I'm glad that maniac got the help that he needed. They found him sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Lord, I pray today that you'd help us to never get over that hill called Calvary. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done, for what you're doing.